Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome. We are here. We are near Studio City, talking about Studio City, the series. I'm James Hunter, saying it five times fast, and welcome to Spotlight On. We spotlight either an artist or a show. You know what I do here. I always spotlight great series. And we're doing that today with this another great series on Amazon Prime. I'm so excited. I have a gaggle of people in here. Well, of course, like I said, I'm James Lott Jr., and I'm here. You follow me where James Lott Jr. is sold, at James Lott Jr. everywhere. So now, okay, I'm going to do these introductions. I have these all planned out for everybody in here. So I'm going to start this.
I can't wait.
Okay. Sitting next to me, one of my first interviews here at AfterBuzz TV was with this lady. She is everywhere, folks. Prime time, daytime, web, I mean, everywhere. And she plays a hilarious, and I want to find out where the name came from, Gloria, I have an idea, the soap opera producer on this series. And you know, of course, is Diane Miller on General Hospital, Ms. Carolyn Hennessy.
Hello.
Hi, girl.
How are you?
Good.
I'm so happy to be here with everyone. With this murder or this
gaggle. Nursery.
Flock.
Now, see across from her, I met her 30 years ago at the soap opera Digest Awards. Mm-hmm. And I get to call her my friend. And she is everywhere, too, folks. She is everywhere. And I mean, web series. I mean, her credits are just so long. Yeah. Look them up. But you know what? She's one of the nicest people in the business. And she plays Sean Kanan's character's mom, Violet, on the show. Way too young to be playing that, but she's the bomb. Patricia Darbo.
Thank you, baby. Thank you.
Lovely. Good to see you. Now, this buddy, whenever I call or he calls, we answer the phone.
Yep.
It's very important in this business. We answer the phone. And he is stars in this series. He is hilarious as Sam Stevens and Dr. Pierce Hartley. I love that name. But now we're guessing with that name. And you've seen him on a million things. And, of course, I have to ask him that one question later on the show that I always ask him every time he comes on over here. But let's welcome Sean Kanan.
Thanks, buddy. It's so good to see you. Thank you so much for having us.
It's my pleasure. Always my pleasure. Now, on the couch, they're not banned or anything. There's not enough room up here on the dais. There's any room here. We're going to start from left to right. I guess my left to the right. This gentleman is daytime royalty. Oh. I mean, like, seriously daytime royalty. And I got to meet him at a book signing that we're both in. Success Factor X. Get that book. Get it where all books are sold. He's in it. I'm in it.
Yeah.
And I met him and his lovely wife. And you know him, of course, as that scoundrel Colin on Y&R once in a while. But you really know him as Robert Scorpio, Tristan Rogers.
Thank you.
Yes.
and he plays his dad. So he plays Doc. So he's funny on that too. Sitting next to him, the brains behind the operation. The brains. There's the good woman next to the man.
Definitely next to.
In front of the man.
I'm racing to keep up with her.
Exactly. She runs things. And I just love her to pieces. And she knows that. And she is a co-writer, co-producer, and did the casting on this, right? Correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Michelle Kanan.
Doesn't that make me the brawn?
Yeah, that's it. Brawn, beauty, everything.
Makes you the whipping boy.
No, that's me.
And he likes that. Now, in the corner, we have him in the corner because he's just too good looking. So I put him in the corner because it's too much. Too much. He plays the rival of Sean's character. I'll make sure both names correctly. Nick Cassidy and Dr. Devin Stryker. And this is my first time really meeting him in person. We follow each other online. Mr. Phillip, now I say your last name correctly. Bruin?
That's correct.
I said correctly. Hi, Phillip.
Hey.
Welcome to AfterBuzz and all this.
I love it.
Very good. So, okay, first, got to do some church announcements. This is what I got to do. You can follow Spotlight on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Make sure I say that right. Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and YouTube under Spotlight On. And this is going to be under the cast of Studio City. So you'll be able to find this anytime. This link is forever. Forever and ever. And you'll be able to share with everybody who needs to know this. There are people in the chat room. Hi to you guys in the chat room. But you'll follow this. Like, subscribe, comment, rate. Tell us how beautiful we are. Just comment how beautiful.
Please.
Please tell us.
Please tell us. Please.
We're begging you.
Please tell us. Now, today is the Sunday soap block. So I have to miss, because many people come from soaps. Right after the show is Days of Our Lives after show, Dish and Days. They're on, and they're gonna have, they have guest Emmy winner Freddie Smith on today. And I love Freddie. Great guy. Really great guy. So he'll be on today. He had a really amazing week on the show last week. So he'll be on there today, and that's at 3:15. And then at 5, we have Restless Rap, which is the Young and Restless after show. Now, unfortunately, General Hospital didn't have any episodes this week. They didn't air anything. I talked to Nathan Varney today, and he said they're going to try to air them soon. So there won't be a GH report today, just because they're... no episodes to talk about. And then, of course, Bowl Breakdown show I do with Tammy Govea. We'll be back next Sunday during the Super Bowl, of course. But we'll be here talking about all the happenings on the Bold and the Beautiful. That's next Tuesday at 2 o'clock, next Sunday at 2 o'clock. And then also, in 2 weeks, is my 5-year anniversary at AfterBuzz TV.
That's great.
As a producer, host, and creator. Thank you. Now, just tell her, she was one of my first interviews. Carolyn Hennessy was my first interviews. And actually, Sean, an interview we did... 3 years ago here, four years ago here now, it's almost up to 200,000 views.
Really? Wow, thank you. That's incredible.
It's very interesting. It's like they liked our interview for some reason. So I'm very, very thankful for that. But I'm planning a big celebration, so you want to check into that. It's February 16th. I think that's everything.
We're there.
Welcome to everybody. The show is good.
The show is actually fantastic. Fabulous.
Like all the adjectives. It is. No, I tweeted out right away, and some of you guys know this. When I watched it, I was like, everybody, run, don't walk. Yeah. This series is good. The production value, the writing, the acting, of course the acting, but the production value, the writing's so good. So, I mean, it's amazing. For a digital series now, it's really good.
Well, I'll just kick it off.
Take it away, Carolyn.
I think I probably speak for everybody. Maybe not you. Whatever. Because you're so young. And for those of us who have been kicking around a long time, we get offered these things. We get offered these web series and, you know, if you've done a lot of theater, you tiny little theater roles where you have to go and change in the alley. It's just all these things that you hope will come to some sort of fruition. And maybe they get a pilot shot, and then it disappears. And maybe you do something like this, and then it disappears. And so we don't get our hopes up. This series, however, is one of those rare, rare birds where it's going to have a tremendously long life. This is just one of those reasons why we all say yes to everything in hopes of getting something like this.
I'm glad you said that. My opening question to the seasoned people in the room, we'll just use the word seasoned.
Some of us more seasoned than others, Chris.
Seasoned in the room.
Is that Mosh?
Yeah. I'm all Tristan, Sean, Patrika, Carolyn, myself.
Charlie.
We're so seasoned.
Charlie. No, it's actually a question I really want to ask, because you brought up a little bit, and that is, we all saw three networks at one time, then the invention of cable, basic, then premium, then the web, and now digital streaming. So we've seen it all happen. So is something like this now a godsend to you guys in terms of your acting and be able to actually act and be in projects? Is this something that's just like, this is prolonging longevity?
For me, I'm going to say at this point, since I deal a lot with the Television Academy, that started with three networks. They're not three networks anymore. And this digital thing that we're doing is the future. And I think those powers that be that we all know need to embrace that and realize that this is the future and start cultivating it, putting money out there, and realizing that the plethora of talent that is out here needs to be embraced. And needs to be the future, which it already is.
Because for so many years, people would do web series in the hope that a big network would pick you up and pay you. And now, I think we are really on the, just kind of right over the line of things like this on their own kind of platform that's not a big nationally recognized or world-recognized cable outlet. And we're going to start getting paid for this kind of thing. It's like people are going to start coming here more and more often. So,
I mean, Apple has it now. Google has the streaming. With all these things, first of all, there's not an actor in this world that should not be working because of the amount of television that's out there.
Right.
And hello, we're all here.
Tell them, girl.
And we are all available.
Right.
And I think the other thing is that when we were writing, that was one of the storylines that we really wanted to pick up, and that was mostly what Carolyn's character was about. It was, she was struggling between what's happening to the networks and what's happening in daytime, where, you know, the audience is there, but the finance isn't there because it's migrating. So what we kind of wanted to show that, like, her character was torn because she loved that system. She loved the soaps, and, you know, as many people do, that's why they're the longest running shows. And, you know, she wanted to keep it alive, but at the same time, make it fresh and make it updated and continue with the audience, but also, you know, find a way to make it profitable.
And how do you do that? Because exactly. I know the soaps that we work on, mm-hmm. every year, the budgets are slashed, yes. and, yeah. slashed yeah. and slashed. And it's like, we're going to all be naked on the screen.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't. Some of us already have been over here.
But when I'm naked, the ratings go down.
I just want to say that I think Days of Our Lives has embraced it because they do have a digital platform, yeah. which I was just fortunate.
Yeah. You were on recently.
I was just recently able to do it. And I think really the others need to get on there too, because it's a whole, they have a whole way of doing a different story and bringing things in, and that showing what we're doing here. Yeah. You know, I think we should, I mentioned that, but I want to get on to Studio City and say, kids, get on that. Go to Amazon. Look at that. Look at our show. We need our ratings. We need you to be out there, as every show does, because you, the audience out there, are the people that take care of us. You let us do more. You bring us into your homes, and we would like you to know that and how much we appreciate it, and do it some more, please.
Yeah, because we don't have jobs if we don't have viewers.
Now, I think it's going to ask Tristan, because I know that I can't even see that. Oh, move the mic a little closer to you. We can move the mic a little closer to your mouth. There you go. Like Madonna or something. Okay, so Tristan, for you, because you first played a very recognizable role as Robert Scorpio on Geronimo for years.
Right.
And then YNR called you up and said, come on, let's play. You get to play somebody a little different.
Right, again.
So this must be nice to play something even more different.
Well, the difference about this show when it first hit me was that this show ticked all the boxes. I mean, we were doing stuff here. We started to do stuff here, which none of the other shows were doing. And it was basically a combination of a number of things. It was the storage management, which all the current soaps do poorly now.
Yes.
It didn't happen that way back in the 80s, but it happens that way now. And we had great story management. And the plots were pretty much the same as what other people were doing. Mm-hmm. However, the difference here was and I can't put this into exact words. When you're doing something right, you know it's right. When it sucks, you also know it sucks. And you can't always verbalize why it's right and why it's wrong. You just know, oh, this feels good.
Yes.
And so this fell into that bracket. And to this moment, you know, I've watched it two or three times. Mm-hmm. And it gets better all the time.
It does.
I mean, there are certain elements you're like, oh, I noticed that. Or, when did she do that? Or, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things that, you know, you've got to watch it and then you'll get it. Mm-hmm. For me to sit back here and try to do a verbal sell on it, you know, might come across as I'm trying to sell a used car. Right. But that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very enthusiastic about it. And I get as many people as I can to watch it and say, okay, what did you think and why do you think that?
Yeah.
And to that end, the reviews have been spectacular.
Yeah. The reviews and the critiques have been terrific. Yep. They're all positive.
Yeah. Sean, tell us about the show.
So this is a show that I've been working on in different evolutions for a really long time. Michelle and I have worked together on this off and on for several years.
Since we met.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. This is something that I've been trying to get made under different names and in different formats. I didn't originally envision this as being a short-form digital series. But when we spoke with our producing partner and our director, Tim Woodward Jr., who is a feature film director, you know, we had this great meeting. I went to the studio to talk to Tim. I had done two films for him. I had done Gangsterland and I did Beyond the Edge. And I had supporting roles, and I wanted to talk to him about the possibility of doing bigger roles with him. And we got in this conversation about digital dramas. And I said, you're interested in doing that? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I think I have something you might like. And he said, if I like it, I'll do it. And I gave him the script. And I think 2 days later, he said, we're going to do this. And I think 8 weeks later, were in production. And you know, I want to say one thing, that this project for me really illustrates what a collaborative medium we work in. This project specifically, you know, without my wife's hard work, without my partnership with Tim, and without all of my friends who, you know, really did this as a favor for me, this never would have happened. And so, you know, I wear a lot of hats in this production, but this really has been a team effort, and I love each and every one of you for doing this. I don't want to get, you know, it's true. I always joke, Patrika and I have worked on more productions than I can count. Starting with, I think we did Step by Step with Suzanne Somers a million years ago. You and I have worked on several.
Yes.
You and Michelle have worked on one.
Yes.
Tristan and I are dear friends and have worked together, and Phil is a new friend. Actually, I didn't know Phil was going to be a part of the cast. Michelle didn't actually cast Phil.
Oh.
He came through Tim Woodward. And, you know, I have to say, you see a guy that's this good looking.
Yeah.
And I knew he was perfect for the part physically, but he is so funny.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's got such great moments, and he's a great talent. And I was like, wow, this is meant to be, because the couple of pieces that we didn't put in place came into place and fit perfectly.
I want to mention Sarah Joy Brown, Scott Turner Schofield, friends of mine, Melissa Rizzo. I want to mention them. You have a great cast. Yeah. So, Sean, I have to mention to you, because good girl. You did a good job.
Thank you.
But I have to ask you, because people have mentioned to me, a lot of women, and a few men, were saying, talk about how this is like aging Hollywood actor. You know, you look good.
Oh, thank you.
They don't buy it. Like, we don't buy it. He looks good. He looks great. Like, aging, he looks great.
He has a painting in his attic. That's
all.
Sorry.
Yeah. Because we're around the same age, and I was like, yeah, he does look good. But I know the concept.
One of the major themes. We have some really interesting social themes that we deal with. We have Me Too. We have. God, what else, Michelle? We've got Me Too. We've got ageism is a big one that I was going to go to, but we have.
We pretty much span the globe of topics.
The ageism issue is something that I really wanted to touch on, because, you know, as a guy that started in 1992 on General Hospital as a kind of a younger leading man, and then you mature, and then suddenly you're no longer the younger leading man, and you have to try and age gracefully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wanted to touch on that, because ageism is such a thing that affects all of us in Hollywood. And you know, people think that if you're not 20 years old, that somehow you're not relevant. And I just don't believe that. And I think when you look at our cast, you know, you see the four of us who are all actors of a certain age. Mm-hmm. You know, it's resonating with the people who watch it. So.
Wait, you said you were 30.
No. I play 45 on the show, but I'm older.
Well, I have to mention this in the chat room. Dwight says Tristan Rogers never ages, still looks the same.
Well, he drinks the blood of virgins.
Yeah.
So.
But honestly, that's where the storyline came from. Because if you look at daytime actors never age.
They look good.
And we wanted to put that into the storyline, and we were like, how do we incorporate that? And like on camera, you see them day after day after day, and they never age. But then there is a reality to it that they're expected to.
Yeah.
It's not that it's just they're blessed and they're genetically superior. They just are expected to do that and like all the things. And we wanted to show more, but we just didn't have time.
So, folks.
Well, in this season.
Yeah, this
yes,
season.
Exactly.
So the episodes, there's six episodes that are under 10 minutes long. So I want you guys to know that. So they're really, you know, easy. They pack a lot in 10, you know, under 10 minutes. Yeah. But as I said, they're not super long, so they can only do so much story. You can only do so much story. That's
right. Well, it wasn't specifically story. What it was is. We toyed with what we were going to do with this. Was this going to be a 60-minute pilot, and then we were just going to wait and do a whole series? Or were we going to do this streaming? And originally, it was a comedy.
I can see that.
It was a sitcom. It was a light sitcom. We approached Patrika, and Patrika, we were like, you're going to be this over-the-top, overbearing stage mom. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we hit her with, like, the most serious,
heavy
scene of her life.
Yes, exactly.
That is just like gripping and raw. Yes. And I think we gave it to you like 2 days before being on set, or
the
was
night
it the
before?
Well, Tristan got a scene that must have been about a page and a half monologue on the day.
And
I have to say something. You know, thank God that I was able to surround us with daytime actors, because Tristan said, "Leave me alone."
He got it.
Actually went, Leave me alone. Let me look at this one second.
Got it.
And he sat there and he looked at it, and I mean, you know, he is not Robert Scorpio in this.
Right. No, he's not.
You know, to watch Tristan do this kind of work and know, you know, Michelle and I were a part of, you know, it's just wonderful. And you know, in the scenes with Patrika and Tristan, I don't really have a lot of lines. I get to just sit there and listen, and people are saying, "Oh, you're so much emotion." I said, it's not acting. I just I listen to them.
He's acting with his eyes.
The original copy you gave me had nothing to do with what I ultimately did.
Yeah, it was a dance number.
He was originally, Tristan was going to be this homeless guy that was kind of like the sage that was just going to give Sam advice. And then we were like, wait, let's do something more. And then,
let's not tell him until he gets here.
Yes. So he gets there, and we're like, and he's like, do you have Paige? And he's like, oh, no, I brought my script. And I was like, yeah, I'll just take that.
We've got fresh start.
Yeah. So we kind of put him off in a corner, and, you know, and these guys, like, they're fantastic. Like the hardest working actors in the business are soap actors.
Yeah, they are.
Like, they know their lines. They only expect one take.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go for like 75 takes of safety and whatever. You get one.
Yeah.
And so on this set, Tim, that was one of the things that he was like, oh my God, I can't believe we're moving with time so fast. Like, they get through this.
And they're
able to ad-lib, and they're able to do it repeatedly. Where a lot of actors will ad-lib, and then they're like, okay, do it again because we need coverage. And you're like, well, I don't remember what I did.
Right.
And that's what takes so long. And these guys, like, could do it. And then we have Phil.
Yeah, that's about Phil.
Poor Phil. And I'm going to do a magic trick. Watch, I can make him talk. So, Phil, you should share your story of how long you had to prepare to be on set.
Oh, let's see. I was in Las Vegas on my birthday, and I got a call at 10 o'clock at night. They said, hey, we've got a job offer for you. It starts at 8 a.m. I'm like, there's no flights out. They said, better rent a car. I'm like, okay. Drove through the night. Showed up saying, all right, what are we doing? Like, here, your first shot. Here's your scene. I'm like,
wow.
Oh, all right, let's go.
So just take your shirt off. It'll be fine.
Yeah. They didn't tell me that either. They're like, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great project. Oh, by the way, you're shirtless the entire time. Like, oh, cool.
Now, I want to ask you, so did you ever watch soaps or anything? Did you know about soaps growing up?
I did know about soaps, but I did not watch them before.
Yeah. So what was it like working with these actors? You're just prepared and ready, and it must be nice.
It was pretty awesome. I didn't get to have scenes with everybody, but I got to hang out backstage with people off scene, and everybody was really cool. I got to see people working on their stuff. I remember watching Tristan over there working on his things at the on set. and it was just really amazing. Because there's it's incredible to see everybody's so talented.
So where'd you come from? Who are you? Where'd you come from?
Well, let's see. I came from North Carolina.
You don't sound like you're from North Carolina.
Well, now that you haven't asked me to put on my Southern accent.
There we go.
I work very diligently to try to not sound like I'm from the South.
There you go.
Oh, I love it. There you go.
I generally had a different career aspect that I was moving with, and I switched over to acting, and I'd actually worked with Tim prior on a film. I had a quick scene on Gangsterland, actually. We didn't get to work together. I played one of the leads, stunt double. On that in the boxing scenes, and after that, I'd worked on another film with Tim. It was called The Outsider, and after that, that's when he had actually contacted me for this project. Prior work was mostly just kind of daytime television or regular television.
What do you like working with Tim? What is it about him you like? You've worked with him so many times now.
He gets to the point.
That
is the main thing. And it's funny, the times I've worked with him, this scenario that we're talking about where it's like, hey, we're going to change script. Hey, this is going to happen. That's kind of how he works under pressure. Like when we were working on the Outsider project, our set burned down. So they had to rewrite the entire end of the script. Like, here, this is the new stuff. We're like, oh, all right. go. Wow. And so that was kind of similar seeing how he worked with that on here. Yeah. And it was nice to see how the actors worked differently. Because on other projects, the actors didn't respond well to that kind of pressure that I saw. And here, it was an incredibly different experience.
Yeah. You have new fans now. They're just like, they're loving you. They're like, where is he? Who is he? Where's he going? Watch the series. You'll see him. Watch the series. And I saw you're left-handed.
Yes. Good catch.
I watched the show. I watched it. My kids, I'm left-handed. I'm left-handed, so I watched that. He's left-handed.
Don't pick that up.
But that's why I think an improvisational background for every actor is a necessity.
Yeah.
To be able to turn on a dime. You make a big, bold choice, and it's like, no. Oh, okay. Yeah. What else do you... What else? Here,
I think as an actor, if you have the ability to kind of... On the snap, create your own dialogue when asked for, and it's good dialogue. That can take you from being a good actor to being a great actor. Mm-hmm. Your performance,
right?
Because it's really something that's very important to be able to do, I think.
So, Patrika, and so you've worked together a lot, so in different capacities. So
we even made out.
Oh, hey, that's right. I'm like,
yeah, we made out in a
we made out
in a video together. Yeah,
I'm going on record. I made Sean.
And she
made
was dressed
out
like a cop.
Okay.
When did I make out with him?
In True Colors.
No, we didn't kiss, did we? Did we kiss?
I would remember that.
At the end.
I want to
oh
reshoot.
Oh, my God. It's on YouTube.
I want to reshoot.
Google YouTube. True Colors.
Yeah.
Sean Kanan and Carolyn Hennessy in the very end.
That's
right. Oh, we did kiss, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
That's right.
How could you forget?
Never question the youngster in the room.
Okay.
Tristan and I have not made out.
I'm going to take you outside.
You haven't made out yet.
No plans on that.
No, like, no, no, no.
Oh, it's coming.
It's going to write it.
Season 2.
You're going to write it. But no, I mean, because you have to, you know, each project is different, so you know each other so well. So how is it every time you guys come together and play a different relationship?
We drink first.
We drink during.
I think sometimes actors are seen by an audience as they see one dimension of that actor and don't realize that a lot of people that can do really great dramatic stuff mm-hmm. have a really funny streak. And if they're just given the right project to show that, you know, it allows audiences to see an entirely different side of them. And yeah. I think that we all have a lot of different facets as actors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, it's never boring working with Patrika. It's always something completely different. But the stuff in Studio City, we've never had stuff like that before. Yeah. I mean, it's intermittently hilarious and then heart-wrenching.
Yes.
So you got to see Patrika. Carolyn, they're all fabulous.
They
all of them.
They are. And I was going to ask you, so because Sarah Joy Brown's in it, which I want to meet her one day. I love her. I've been a fan of hers for years. Did you guys work together at your hospital all at the same time or no?
No, she came before my time. She was the original Carly.
Yes, I believe. And she came back as Claudia later. But
I had to have all this explained to me by my wife.
I'm sure. After, you know. Thanks, wife.
Just like that, a footnote that I also made out with Sarah Brown. We have a child. We have a child together.
That's how you do.
Yeah, AJ and Carly.
That's how you do.
They both got bombed at the bar and had a kid.
That's how you do.
And you're my great nephew, right?
Am I?
I'm B&B.
Oh, I'm B&B. See how incestuous this is? See how incestuous this is?
Wait, didn't you get him out of jail?
I got him out of jail, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I did. Did I?
Yes, you did.
Can we get you on B&B to get Deacon out of jail?
Get Deacon out of jail.
Hello,
they
B&B.
They want him. They want him.
Hello, Y&R.
Hello, B&B. If anyone's watching.
Hello. Wally Kurtz does it. He's on several soaps
every
time.
That's right.
He's
so
killing
does
it
Tristan.
Both. And so does Tristan. I know.
So Tristan, yeah.
I know.
Tristan, we need to get you on Days.
I do remember being in scenes with you on GH, and this was years ago. And just watching you and being so impressed, but you were so funny off screen. And then in the original reading of this, which was originally titled The Bubble.
It was The Bubble, yeah.
It was very funny. Mm-hmm. But then watching the end product, first of all, watching you work with me, but then watching the end product and seeing, because, you know, I'm obviously not in every scene, so seeing the whole thing, like, Sean, my estimation of you grew 10 freaking fold, and it was started out very high.
I will back that up and say that, Sean, you are a very underrated actor. I really think, I mean, people love you. People in your chat.
I'm a national treasure. Let's face it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, seriously. People in the chat are just like naming all their different roles and how much they still want you on the show.
Here's the thing that I'm going to say. This character, Sam Stevens, a.k.a. Dr. Pierce Hartley, is really, honestly, very close to a lot of who I am. And I figured, you know what? we were going to do this project, and I was finally going to get the chance to do a role that, you know, I had a lot of control over, and I figured I'm going to sink or swim, but it's going to be because of the choices that I make and you know, what I'm able to put out there as the character. And I'm really appreciative that people are responding to it.
You have the greatest facial expressions. Oh my goodness. I laugh. You have some of the funniest facial expressions.
Don't ever get
in
an argument with him because his facial expressions will, and he changes the tone of his voice and it's very hypnotic.
Oh my goodness.
He gets distracted. So like, a lot of the arguments that I've had in my head with him were glorious dialogue.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, I wrote behind all the scenes, folks. Dialogue. Ooh. Yeah.
And I thank you.
So the scene where she's saying, you know, if you take all your tricks away and you're not half bad.
You're not half bad.
That is an argument that we've had. And I'm like, are you a working actor because you're pretty or because you're talented? Because a lot of times, like, it's hard as a performer to get out of that headspace where I have to look right to be on camera. When nobody's looking at what you look at, they look at what you do.
Yeah. Right.
And, like, that's a hard one. And the audition one, too, because my daughter's in it. My daughter is Delilah. Yeah. And she's gone through it. And she's like,
she's
I go
beautiful.
Through so many...
Beautiful.
Auditions and they say no. It's like hard to get no all the time. And I'm like, well, they're not saying no to you. They're saying you don't fit this role. You're not a bad actor. It's not that you're not bad. It's just that you're not right for this one. So go do something. Find your one.
So it's tough to take it to not take it personally. So tough. Yeah. And Studio City does something really interesting though, which I think is going to be very appealing, not just to soap fans who are going to love it, but to the broader, well, to the world.
Yes.
To the universe, because. When we're watching the soap within the soap, it could have easily kind of gone into caricature.
Absolutely.
You
that's
know,
excellent point.
That, you know, that I'm looking into the camera now and I don't
know. No, totally.
God bless Drake Hogeston.
Anyway,
that's exactly
Drake.
What it looks like.
But it doesn't.
Yeah. Right, it doesn't.
That was
does
intentional.
Not. Yeah. And it comes up, it kind of comes up. To the edge, but it never crosses it, and that is the thing that sets this series apart from anything else that touches on soap opera. It's like it's true to it, and it's true to actors trying to be true to their characters, whether it's the soap within the soap on Studio City or on the set of General Hospital or B&B or Y&R Days, and that enables you as Sam, no, not Sam Stevens.
Oh, Dr. Pierce Arley.
Yeah, no, as Sam Stevens, to really mine much, much deeper. And it's almost like we're watching two different people on that screen.
I agree.
It's wonderful.
Because, you know, it's so often when you see soap operas portrayed in other shows, whatever, it's, you know, it's always kind of like they're getting a poke taken at them. You know what I mean?
Super cheesy.
And, you know, daytime actors are some of the best actors that I've ever worked with.
I agree.
I've been in daytime off and on since 1992, and it's been such a seminal part of my life. And when we created this, I wanted to effectively, I've said it before in interviews, you know, create a love letter to soaps. Something that was going to be respectful of it, that was going to show what it's like to be an actor in daytime, you know, sometimes showing the pathos and sometimes showing the humor, but not doing it in a way that's, you know, making fun of the entire genre, because I think we get enough of that from sort of mainstream media. And it's almost become, you know, they accuse daytime of being cliche and caricatured. But in reality, the way that they treat it is what the cliche and the character is, because that's not really how it is.
No.
It's true. And any actor that comes onto a soap and does kind of the cliche character thing
is gone.
Easily.
Hey, or they come on and they go, line?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I do that again?
Oh, wow.
And people are, what?
Wow. Right. Right. Right.
Not, no. And people have left the show abruptly because they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And they've had to get somebody in and replace them immediately because they could not do it.
I think Studio City might save soaps.
I think this is a good time to say that all of those choices, that was Tim. Like, Tim's, he's a huge soap fan. And, like, Tim and I'm going to shout out to the crew, Zeb and Leah and Amy.
Yeah, we had a fantastic
all
crew.
All of them, and even Wayne, our editor. They when these guys rolled onto set, they, you know, came in and they were like, oh, I'm here to work and whatever. The faces of the crew like, their hearts skipped a beat. They were all just, like, walking around, like, oh, yay.
Yeah, I didn't know the team was a soap. I didn't know he was a soap fan until like, we got down the road on this. And I'm like, dude, you're like a fan.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Down behind the scenes, they would come to me, and they're like, do you think I could get a picture?
Oh, that's
and
I'm so
like,
funny.
They're like, I don't want it to be weird, but do you think I could get one? And I was like, well, I'll just ask them. Like, right. They're going to do it. And they're like, no. Here's what we do. And they would set up, like, these hilarious scenarios where I would have to go, oh, it's a set picture. We're going to have to. And they would be like, and they would, like, get into makeup to get right. the photo because yeah. it was, like, a treasure.
That
and, like,
is so
they would
funny.
Send it back. Like, Tim, the first time Tim worked with Sean, his mother was, like, watching. And, you know, she's back in North Carolina and she's watching. And she goes, oh, my God, that's Tegan. And was so, and she's like, I don't care. Didn't watch the. And he's right. like, in that moment, my mother was proud of me.
Right.
And he was like, you know, like, that's what made her proud of me.
Right, not
she didn't
work.
Care about anybody
yeah,
else, but Deacon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I've made exactly. it now because I worked with Deacon. And yeah. so, and I was like, well, okay. And, like, that was the kind of the genesis of how I was like, well, you know, if you really want to flip her out, okay. win an Emmy.
Right.
And I was like, this is how you could win an Emmy. Mm-hmm. Let's get these guys together. And mm-hmm. he was like, and he does features, and he does amazing features. Yeah. And his and like to me, I knew his cinematography. And he has an amazing cinematography.
Oh, yeah.
Pablo is an artist.
Yes,
he may as well
great.
Be Picasso somewhere
because yeah,
you know it's amazing. And those two working together, they have like one brain. You see them, and it's
works.
Stunning.
It works.
And then Tim will go in front of the camera, and he will pull things out of the actors.
Right.
Like he took Julie. My daughter, not to, you know, be a stage mom. But she got her script the day before. And the last thing she was in, she was 11.
Oh, wow.
So she is not used to doing scripts at all. And, you know, she's been a student. And so now she comes into doing this and she was like, okay. And Tim just walked her through it and, you know, like he gets to the point and he's like, this is what you're going to do. And, like, brought something really special and unique out of all of them and gave you room and space to do things. Like, there's so much on the screen.
I got to call him.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I had 3 pages in a movie recently, and I'm like, 3 pages, what am I going to do?
Wow, what's it called?
It's called Second Chance for Christmas. It came out at Christmas time with Vivica Fox and Mark Christopher Lawrence, and I play a bad host.
Oh, I'm looking at
it. It's on Amazon.
So that was acting, huh?
Yeah, he was. You know, good. But I got the pages like well 2 days before. Because he goes, I wrote this role for you, James, because it's so opposite of you. Here's your size. I'm like,
that's great.
3 pages. What do I do? I haven't acted in a long time. It was a lot of fun. But you guys, I have respect for all of you. Do 60 pages and 40 pages. And I mean, that's hard work, folks.
Yep.
They're working for their money. That's hard work.
I think the camaraderie, too, that we had, the cast and the crew, and the fact that we all knew each other and that we were very supportive of each other, of everything
absolutely.
We were doing. I think
we
had to have a wrap party. Didn't we have one?
We're having one.
That's
having
a very nice segue.
I missed it if I did.
No, we're gonna have one on February 11th.
Yes.
Tell them, Michelle.
At the Elks Lodge.
Oh, okay.
I'm an elk.
We're gonna have a red carpet. We're a red carpet screening. And the information is going to be up on the Studio City website for people to buy tickets. Let me give the website. It's studiocity.shell.
Yes.
Okay.
And so this, we're going to do it as a charity event for the Elks Lodge Children's.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's nice.
Very nice.
But there's about 100 Elks Lodges.
Well, it's in Van Nuys.
It's going to be in Van Nuys.
But don't worry. We'll
let you know where it is.
I've already spoke to your wife.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, she voluntold you. You're going.
She volunteered.
Do you know why I became an elk?
Why?
Because the drinks are cheap?
Well, yeah.
No, I just found out they're $5
the
drinks, apparently.
Because the Elks Lodge parking lot in Pasadena is where they set up for the Rose Parade. And if you're an elk, you can go into the Elks Lodge and set up a chair on the veranda.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm
stupid.
Yeah. Wow.
So, funny. Stupid. So, Tristan, when did you start General Hospital? What year was that?
1980. October 1980.
And I served him drinks in 1988
what?
In Duke's Bar. And
That's right.
I was a hostess at Michelli's when you came
what?
In.
What?
And sat at the bar.
I'll take your word for that.
Well,
because, you know, there's a certain producer named Gloria, but you knew a Gloria, also a producer, years ago.
Don't forget, it was only a 2-day role.
2 days?
Scorpio was a 2-day role.
Oh.
And she took me aside after the first day and said, would you like to stick around? Being an idiot, I thought, you're going to have dinner. She kind of looked at me sideways and said, just go out and talk to that chap out there and he'll give you all the details. That's how it started. However, that wasn't the first soap I did. I started on soaps in 67.
What? Which one?
It's an Australian one called Hunter. Everything back then had a kind of a serial drama feel to it because they were still getting their act together back then. We'd only had television since 56. So 67, that was 11 years, boom, and they didn't know Dick hardly.
Yeah.
And so it was all really, like, you know, experimental at the time. Yeah. And it was a good ride.
I just know Neighbors, because that's down there, that's from down there.
That came years
and after. Yeah, that's what I know.
But I did a show in England called Crossroads, and another show over there called Emmerdale Farm.
I've heard that.
But this was way before it was like it is now.
Yeah.
It was nothing like it is now.
Yeah.
It was about a farm.
Farmer Tris.
Tristan, you have to tell your famous story. The first time I met Tristan, he told me this amazing story about a little role that he turned down to come here to do General Hospital.
Oh, tell us. What role is that?
Yeah, there was this buddy of mine who I'd met at a party somewhere. He had no money, and I had a good career going at the time, but I also had a ticket in my hand to come to the U.S. So we're out. His name was – shit, I've forgotten his name. Anyway, we're out having a drink one afternoon, and he's looking at me kind of all weird, and he said, you know what? You're Max. And this goes on for a couple of weeks till finally I said, okay, at the risk of being an idiot, what is Max? And he said, I'm doing this movie with George Miller. It's called Mad Max. We've been looking for the character for ages, and you're him. You are exactly what I see in that character. I said, look.
I can't hear it.
I said, look, I'm sorry to tell you, but I got a ticket in my hand to go to the U.S., and I don't see that changing. He said, no, you've got to take this meeting with George. I said, okay, I'll meet George. So we go in. I don't know, it was about 2 days later. And have you ever had a meeting or met somebody where, without even shaking their hand, you know instinctively you are never going to get along?
Yes, I've been there.
And thus was the case with George Miller.
Really?
And so what happened was, you know, Max goes off and becomes a huge
hit.
And this guy turned out to be the writer on the show and the director, not the complete director. George did most of the directing.
Yeah.
And there's a story about him. After they became super successful, he learned how to fly a helicopter. And so he's out flying around with his nephew, and the helicopter goes down in one of the big lakes up in the north in the Blue Mountains. A really bad crash. So the kid in the helicopter gets him out of the helicopter and swims with him about a half a mile to shore.
My goodness.
And kept him alive for 2 days with his body warmth.
Oh my God.
And the guy died in his arms.
Oh, wow.
And the kid got, I think, is the equivalent of the Australian Medal of Honor.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
That's incredible.
Got a young kid, about 12, I think.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that was an interesting story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And at the same thing, your life still turned out great. You have nothing to worry about
I
that.
I can't complain.
You can't complain, right?
You know, I look back on the genre of soap opera, and in the 50 years that I've been doing it in various different shows here in England and Australia and what have you, I've been involved in three events.
Okay.
The first event was 1981 General Hospital, when we changed everything.
Yes.
That's the definition of an event as far as
I'm concerned. It was.
And the second event after that was the second series of Night Shift. When you looked at Night Shift was a whole different animal.
It was.
written, produced like a primetime show, edited like a movie. Mm-hmm. We had a whole lot of different things that we were into.
Kind of like this. Kind of like this.
This is the third event.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
This is the third time I've been involved in something which is a potential game changer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah. So therefore, you know, when I started to get into the character, I started to think about that. And I'm getting, yeah, this is really exciting. You know, I'm going to keep that to myself. Maybe the others have figured it out, but I figured it out. And so consequently, you know, when I talk about what we're doing here, mm-hmm. it's really with enthusiasm and yeah. a lot of respect.
Yeah. I tell people that come for the soap actors, stay for the actual story, and production.
Nice.
And the writing. It's like, it's just, yeah, so these, you guys are shining objects. I mean, you guys are known actors in certain worlds, and you're a hot actor now by MIT now. So come
we'll
for
be,
that.
We'll be known.
Come for that. No, but seriously, come for that, but then stay and actually really enjoy it more than that.
Yeah.
It's this
yeah.
series is more than
that's
just.
That's what we're trying to, we're really trying to build an audience right now, and it's difficult because we have no ad budget. You know, everything right. that we're doing, we're all drawing on kind of our notoriety in daytime and the right. relationships we've had with journalists in daytime and friends like yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did this in, I think, four days.
Wow. Yeah,
so four days.
Wow.
The thing is, I'm, you know, we're in the process
of
discussing.
No reshoots.
Wow. We're in the process of discussing, you know, where we're going from here.
Yeah.
And only imagining what we can do when we have a real budget, when I can properly pay my yeah. actors yeah. And have, you know, an yeah. adequate number of production days, yeah. et cetera. And that's the hope for yeah. the next season, yeah. whether the next season winds up being as a, you know, as a digital series on Amazon, or if it winds up being, you know, a half an hour show on one of the networks. Mm-hmm. It's going to be here.
So Carolyn and I'd like to encourage all the Elks out there to tune
Elks.
In.
Please.
Your support. Yes. Get that $5 drink and tune in.
Yes. Have your grandson program the remote for you.
Very true.
That's
have the young kids help you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. DVR, whatever.
I may get kicked out.
The kids teach you. They teach you all this stuff. I have to ask this question, Sean. Can I ask you this? Because we're getting close to the end of the show.
Okay.
I ask you this every single time, because the fans will kill me if I don't ask you this. I have two words, Sean. Just tell me what's going on. Cobra Kai.
Wow. You know, I get asked this almost daily.
Yeah.
I've had some communication with the producers. Thus far, they haven't written anything for my character to return. I would love to do it. You know,
the show's a huge hit.
It's a huge hit. And, you know, I'm very happy on a little personal note. I'm very happy for the resurgence and success my friend Martin Cove is having.
Yes.
And, you know, if they give me the call, I'm flying down to Atlanta and throwing on the gi.
If you watch this, the end of, I think, season 2, you see the face of Elizabeth Shue. Everyone, if she comes back too. But, I mean, seriously, people ask me, oh, you know, Sean, it's going to be on Cobra Kai. It's going to be on Cobra Kai.
I don't know if he
He's really going to be much too busy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that should be that's the hope.
Exactly. He's doing other stuff. He's doing,
speaking of the writers, so one of the other writers, Lauren
DeNormandy,
we actually had a conversation, and we've actually started talking about, like, kicking story ideas around and, like, saying and setting some things up. So... yeah, everybody be real nice to us, because we have some ideas coming up. Sam, it may not go well
want.
For him.
What do you want? I'll get it for you. Whatever it is.
It must have been fun writing this.
I mean,
Was it a blast?
It was bittersweet, because Sean is so close to this, because he created the idea. This was his baby, and when I met him, this is what he was working on, and this is how we started working together. And it's gone through different phases, and it was a comedy. And, you know, like, getting Julie on the cast, that was a fist fight.
Yeah.
Like,
here's the thing.
He was
she's my stepdaughter, and I said, look, here's the thing. When you have nepotism involved, when you're the child of someone famous, not me, but I mean, you look at Kiefer Sutherland or da-da-da.
Oh, right.
You know, you get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not good, it doesn't last. I mean, I hate to say it, but there have been some, you know, famous actors who have had children who have gotten a shot and not been able to parlay it. And so I said, this is my baby, and I'm not going to stunt cast this with my my stepdaughter if you can't do it. I'm not going to stick you in with all these vets who respect is earned. And to her credit, she came to the studio. She sat down with me and Michelle and with Tim Woodward Jr., and she brought it. And, you know, there were things on set, like she doesn't have a lot of awareness about camera and lighting and things like that that only comes with experience.
Yeah, you just learn that.
But she has she had a natural enthusiasm, ability to take direction, and I think she killed it. And I couldn't be proud of her.
She did. You guys, time's up.
What?
Wow.
We're going to sit for another 2 hours. Screw everything, just keep talking about life. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you so much.
You.
Ladies
and
gentlemen. It was nice meeting you. I'm just happy. This show is so good,
and
folks.
The website to go to is
studiocity.show. And please follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. And we'll keep up with everything that's going on. Like I said, we're going to be having a red carpet screening in Los Angeles on February 11th. Tickets will be made available on the website. A lot of surprises. Guests, please join us.
Now we're going to start with Philip in the corner. Everybody tell you where your social medias are. Say, start with Philip. Somebody can find you on social media.
You can find me on Instagram at Philip Bruin. You can also find me on Twitter at Philip Bruin, too.
Michelle?
You can find Charlie on Instagram at The Monkey Troll, and I'm on Instagram at Michelle Kanan.
Yes.
And go to our website, and you can get the link to Amazon.
Right.
So it's on like Amazon.
This is a tough one because Facebook recently wiped out my entire...
Oh, no.
Everything. Oh. Gone. And so far, they won't give it back.
Oh.
Wow.
So okay. If it were there, it would be...
Tristan Rogers, right?
So it's... Yeah.
Tristan Rogers, I guess. Okay.
At Sean Cannon on Twitter and Instagram.
Patrika?
Instagram is Darbo Patrika. And Twitter is Patrika Darbo.
I am everywhere at Carolyn Hennessy, CarolynHennessy.
And I'm, of course, at James Lott Jr. everywhere on social media platforms. Follow me on TikTok now. I joined that whole TikTok thing. Oh, wow. I'm getting tons of hits.
Get
so, yes. I'm doing organizing tips. So go on TikTok for my organizing tips. It's a lot of fun. Of course, follow us everywhere. Follow this show, Studio City. It's a series. It's so good. And we'll see you next time.
Me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.